This is not intended to be a trick question by any means, but who can tell me the last book of the Bible, the name of the last book of the Bible? Did anyone say Revelations? It's not Revelations. The full title is The Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. But I would like to tell you today that it's not just the last book of the Bible that is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, but the whole book is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book reveals for us Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Some time ago, and I'm not even sure where I got it, but I had it in my file. I have all the books of the Old Testament here, and it tells how that book describes Jesus Christ. In the book of Genesis, Jesus is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, Jesus is the Passover lamb, the manna, the quail. In Leviticus, Jesus is the atoning blood sacrifice. In Numbers, Jesus is the smitten rock, the brazen serpent, in that he was made sin for us and judged. In Deuteronomy, Jesus is that prophet. In Joshua, Jesus is the captain of the Lord's host. In Judges, Jesus is the great deliverer. In Ruth, Jesus is the kinsman redeemer. In the six books of the Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Jesus is the promised king. In Ezra, Jesus is the restorer of the temple. In Nehemiah, Jesus is the restorer of the nation. In Esther, Jesus is the advocate and propitiator. In Job, Jesus is my daysman. In Psalms, Jesus is my all in all. In Proverbs, Jesus is my pattern. In Ecclesiastes, Jesus is my goal. In the Song of Solomon, Jesus is the bridegroom, who is the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. In Isaiah, Jesus is prophesied as the miraculous one who is to be born of a virgin, the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, Jesus is the Lord our righteousness. In Lamentations, Jesus is our counselor in the midst of chastening. In Ezekiel, Jesus is the true shepherd in contrast to the false shepherds. In Daniel, Jesus is the Ancient of Days, the stone cut out without hands. In Hosea, Jesus is the faithful, loving husband, wooing and winning the adulterous wife back to the bosom of her own husband. In Joel, Jesus is prophesied as the judge calling all nations to judgment. In Amos, Jesus is the champion of social justice. In Obadiah, Jesus is the wrath and favor in the day of the Lord. In Jonah, Jesus is the missionary to all men, loving souls more than gourds. In Micah, Jesus is the Messiah as the God-man. In Nahum, Jesus is the God of vengeance. In Habakkuk, Jesus is the God of justice. In Zephaniah, Jesus is prophesied as the judge setting up a kingdom of blessing as the Messiah. In Haggai, Jesus is the angel of Jehovah, the branch of David. In Zechariah, Jesus is the angel of Jehovah, the branch of David. And in Malachi, Jesus is the son of righteousness, the messenger of the covenant. I won't take the time to go through all of the New Testament, but there's also a description of Jesus in each book of the New Testament. In Matthew, you know he's the king of Israel. In Mark, he's the servant of Jehovah. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the very God of gods. In Acts, he's the risen Lord. In Galatians, he himself alone is my salvation. In Ephesians, he's the head of the body, the church. In 1 Thessalonians, he's the bridegroom who is to rapture the bride. In Philemon, he's the settler of our account. In 1 John, he's the almighty God incarnated in the flesh. In Revelation, he is the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the description of Jesus as revealed in every book of the Bible. I hope you noticed this morning when we sang our songs, every one was about Jesus Christ. Fairest Lord Jesus, worthy of worship, he is Lord, the lily of the valley, Lamb of glory. A little later we're going to sing there is a redeemer. All about Christ. I also had in my file a whole list of titles of Christ that went through the alphabet. And again, for time's sake, I probably will not go through all of this, but it says, Jesus is the Adam, the Advocate, the Alpha, the Amen, the Ancient of Days, the Anointed, the Apostle, the Author. Jesus is the Beginning, the Begotten, the Beloved, the Bishop of our souls, the Branch, the Bread, the Bridegroom, the Bright and Morning Star, the Brightness of the Father's Glory. Jesus is the Captain, the Chosen of God, the Christ, the Consolation, the Chief Cornerstone, the Counselor, the Covenant. Jesus is the Daysman, the Day Spring, the Day Star, the Deliverer, the Desire of All Nations, the Door. Jesus is the Elect, the Ensign, the Everlasting Father, the Emmanuel. Jesus is the Finisher of our faith, the Forerunner, the Friend, the First Fruits, the Faithful Witness, the Fountain of Life. Jesus is God, the Gift of God, the Governor, the Guide, the Glorious Lord. Jesus is the Helper, the Hearer, the Head of the Church, the Heir of all things, the High Priest, the Husband, the Heaven's Wonder, the Hope, the Holy One, the Horn of Salvation. Jesus is the I Am, the image of God's person, the inheritance, the immortal, the invisible, the intercessor, and right on through the alphabet of who Jesus is. But I want to go through just a few things about his work. Those were his titles, but his work. It says in the Word of God, never man spake like Jesus. Jesus, by whom Almighty God hath in these last days spoken unto us. Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty in high. Jesus, whom God hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Jesus, being so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus, who is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In whom, by the pleasure of the Father, all fullness dwells. Jesus, counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he hath builded the house, he that buildeth the house hath more honor than the house. Jesus, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who glorified himself, not himself, to be made an high priest. Jesus, once despised and rejected of men, now honored of angels and adored of saints, to whom God hath committed all judgment. Jesus, who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. It's Communion Sunday. We're going to think about Jesus today. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. There we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In preparing for today, I did a short word study. And we're going to do that word study just to think about Christ here for a moment before we have our communion service. But I saw the word made there in verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Three times in one verse we have the word made. Where did you come from? Christ made you. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now we know that Jesus Christ was not made, because the first two verses ahead of that tell us that he was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And so we know that Jesus Christ himself is eternal. He's that eternal Son of God. He's that eternal one who existed with God and is God. And verse 1 tells us that he was God, so that he's God. But there are several things that Christ was made. Now, he was not made in the sense that he didn't exist and then all of a sudden he existed. But let's look at verse 14 of John 1, and we'll find one of the things that he was made. And the Word was made flesh. Of course, there we're talking about the incarnation. We're talking about that which took place at the time of year that we call Christmas. And so he was made flesh. There was a time, approximately a little over 2,000 and almost 20 years ago now, that Jesus Christ was made flesh. And he was incarnate. He was God the Father, and now placed back in human body, in a human form. This time we did get to go to Bethlehem. Sometimes we haven't always gone to Bethlehem. This time on our Israel trip, we went to Bethlehem. And it's a little more difficult to get to Bethlehem these days, because Bethlehem is controlled totally by the Palestinians, so you have to go through a checkpoint to get in there. Sometimes, when I went to Israel one other time, it was a lengthy wait to be able to, for us to go down into the Grotto of the Nativity. But this time, we hit it right, because we only had to wait about 5 or 10 minutes and we could get down in there. And so that worked very well. But there was a time when Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. But Galatians 4 tells us that he was not only made flesh, he was made of a woman. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Made under the law means that he was born when the law was in effect. Made under the law. Made of a woman. Again, throughout Scripture, right from Genesis, that talked about him being the seed of a woman, that promised Redeemer, even through the book of Galatians and through the entire Word of God, we see the humanity of Christ and the virgin birth of Christ. And then go to Galatians chapter 3. Turn over to the book of Galatians and chapter 3. We all are so grateful that he was made flesh, and so grateful that Jesus Christ was made of a woman. But here in Galatians chapter 3, it says in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse. So Jesus Christ was made flesh. Jesus Christ was made of a woman. Jesus Christ was made a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And certainly, as we gather around the Lord's table this morning, we will be reminded that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died and took upon him the curse of sin, took upon him our sin. And that's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ took upon himself our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I wrote down this quote many years ago. It says, he stood before God with all our sin upon him, that we might stand before God with none of our sin on us. He stood before God with all our sin upon him, that we might stand before God with none of our sin on us. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Now, if that's the only made, if we had to stop there, it'd be just a little bit sad. But go to Acts 1, and we don't actually see the word made here, but we see that it's implied. In Acts chapter 1, and in verse 3, it says, to him also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. He was made alive. If you read carefully in Mark 16 about the resurrection of Christ, you'll see oftentimes the phrase, they believe not. They believe not. It happens 4 or 5 times just in that chapter alone. They couldn't believe that he was alive, but he showed himself alive, being seen of them, according to Acts 1, 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Romans 4 says, for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Believe on him that was raised up from the dead. Raised up from the dead. 1 Corinthians 1:30 then again uses the word made, only this time it's Jesus is made something for us again. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is made unto us our wisdom. Where do we get our wisdom today? From him. Where does our righteousness come from? From him. Where does our sanctification come from? From Christ. Where does our redemption come from? From Christ. Jesus Christ, made flesh, made of a woman, made a curse, made a sin for us, made alive, made as our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. As we gather around the Lord's table in just a few moments, let's remember that Jesus was willing to be made all these things for you and for me. In a few moments, as we gather down here around the Lord's table, I'm going to take us back a little bit by review to Luke 22 and then back to Exodus. And I know that many of you have been to a Passover Seder dinner. I put one on a few years ago here at our ministry. How many of you have never been to a Passover Seder dinner? You've not had that opportunity. Let me see your hand if you've not been to one. All right, there's a few that have not been to one. Pastor George and Sandy Haddon went with us to Israel, and we were talking about some of this, and I didn't intend to, but I think I self-invited myself to his church to do a Passover Seder sometime. That wasn't my intention, but you do that? Well, why don't you come to my church and do one of those? So probably one of these times I'll go and have a Passover Seder for the fellowship there of Brother Haddon. But before we go too far, let's have the deacons come. And so we're not going to sing yet. I know it's a little unusual, but deacons, why don't you, I'm right in the middle of things, but why don't you come and gather here at the front? And I don't know as you will need a hymn book, men, but we're a little informal this morning. You can just come when you're ready.
Before you sit down, Mike. Bob, could you then pull this out just a little bit for me? There, thank you. That's plenty. All right. Let's go to Luke 22 in our Bibles, please. I apologize for my voice. Luke 22. Verse 1 says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover." Then verse 7, "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And when ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall set the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, and there make ready." Well, we went to an upper room. It's a traditional room, of course. It can't possibly be the same room that Jesus met in, because the city was destroyed. So it's a representative room in the probable location. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the fruit of kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you." Now we can see that the Lord's table came out of the Passover dinner. The Passover, they call it a Seder, the Passover Seder, the Passover dinner. It came out of that when he instituted the Lord's table. Now, I would have you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus And you know, of course, that this is the familiar passage when the Passover was instituted. And just start with verse 3. Exodus 12:3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, its head with the legs and with the protuberance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and it shall that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. We'll stop there with our reading. And so, all through the rest of the Old Testament history, although there were times when they neglected it, but the children of Israel carried and followed on this commandment to keep the Passover. And in Christ's time, they were still keeping the Passover. And in this day in which we live, they are still keeping the Passover. It is a memorial table to them. if you were to go and look at a Passover Seder, you will notice, and I have here in front of me, four cups. Now, I did not fill them today, but there are four cups that they will have during a Passover Seder that they will drink at certain times during the Passover dinner. And each cup comes from the book of Exodus chapter 6. If you want to turn back just a few verses to Exodus chapter 6. So in a regular Passover Seder dinner, they would read this passage. And this is a passage that they are being reminded of their responsibilities before the Lord. And in this passage, you'll see the Lord promising to do several things for them. In verse 6, Exodus 6:6 says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And so this first cup they call the cup of sanctification, when he separates them from the Egyptians. I will bring you out from the Egyptians. So they call this first cup the first of cup of sanctification. And then it says, I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And that's the second cup, and that's called the cup of praise. And they would say after the first cup, we praise you, Lord, for your setting us apart from children unto yourself. And then they would say, we praise you for removing your children from the bondage of sin. And then the third thing there, they say, I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. What do you think they call that third cup? the cup of redemption. I will redeem you. Now, we read back in Luke that he told them to drink, and then he said, I'll not drink any more of this until I do it in the kingdom. That was not the communion cup. That was this third cup, the cup of redemption. But then the fourth cup is found right there in 6:6, actually going on to verse 7. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. I will take to you a people, and I will be to you a God. You know what that cup is? The cup of acceptance. And that's actually the cup that he drank, and they drank. The fourth cup of the communion service is the cup of acceptance. Aren't you glad that every time you take the Lord's table, you're not only remembering that Christ shed his blood for you, but you're also remembering that Christ has accepted you and God has accepted you through Christ. The cup of acceptance. And so they would be partaking of this. And we have a song. Doctor, could you go to the piano and play? And I think we have it on the screen. The third cup was called the cup of redemption. Fourth cup is the cup of acceptance. Let's sing, There Is a Redeemer, the cup of redemption. Sorry, we... Oh, okay.
Is done.
back in Luke 22, it says, "And when he had took bread and gave thanks, he brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Brother Mike, would you stand and give thanks for the bread, please?